Shalom to all, and it is with great simcha that we begin learning Daf Yomi and Talmud Yerushalmi. I also have a bit of an introduction before we begin learning. Talmud Yerushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael some 200 to 300 years after the Churban HaBayis, about 150 years before the Bavli was written in Bavel. Now, who wrote it? So the Rambam writes that the primary author of the Yerushalmi was Rabbi Yochanan. Now, there's many obvious differences between the two, between Bavli and Yerushalmi. Perhaps the most striking is extremely terse style characteristic of the Yerushalmi as opposed to the far lengthier Bavli. In Yerushalmi, the Gemara often asks a question, provides an answer, and then moves on to the next thing, whereas a similar discussion in Bavli could go on for two dafim or even more than that. Furthermore, the style of writing makes it challenging to discern with ease if it's an opening statement, question, answer, comment, rebuttal, or a new topic. And these factors, among others, make the halacha l'maisa unclear, and we know that with the notable exception of the Rambam, who very often paskins like Yerushalmi, as pointed out by the Gra and the Ravid, the majority of Rishonim tend to paskin based off the Bavli. Now, why is the Yerushalmi like this? So firstly, Yerushalmi is written in a different dialect of Aramaic than the Bavli, so even one quite expert in Bavli is going to have quite the experience learning Yerushalmi. However, the main reason for this is simply due to the circumstances under which the Yerushalmi was written. The Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael at the time were subject to terrible persecution by the Romans, which eventually led them to being expelled from Eretz Yisrael. And due to those extremely trying times, there wasn't any time, ability, or headspace to be able to clarify everything the way the Bavli does, which means that the Yerushalmi didn't go through multiple birurim and clarifications like the Bavli did. And it's primarily for that reason as well that there are so many different gersais and opinions of what the proper text is supposed to be. Now, what makes things even more exciting is the noticeable dearth of Rishonim on Yerushalmi. There's no Rashi, Tosfos, Rif, or Rush, no Rashba, Ritva, or Ramban, and that leaves us with the commentary of some of the great Achronim, which although they do open our eyes significantly, it's definitely difficult to learn a Gemara without Rashi, especially once one has already tasted the sweetness and seeming simplicity of his explanations. Now, it is important to note that although we've been saying that figuring out what's being said is somewhat of a puzzle, the Yerushalmi isn't as challenging as Bavli from an analytical perspective. Once the language is understood and the gears is clarified, the discussions are fairly easy to follow, and much of the complexity found in the Shakla Vitari of the Bavli is not present in the Yerushalmi. Which really leads us to our next point, which is perhaps on a little bit more of a spiritual plane. There's a Ritva who says that the Yerushalmi is more Nehirin, it's bright or light or lichtig. The Gemara says that Reb Zeira fasted so that he could forget Bavli in order to be able to learn Yerushalmi, and the Mefarshim explained that it was because of this. And similarly, the Hemek Davar writes that the Yerushalmi and Bavli can be compared to the Luchas Rishonis and Shniyos, with the Yerushalmi having an elevated level of Kedusha like the Luchas Rishonis. Now, the Karban HaEda, one of the foremost Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, in his Akdamah to Maseches Shabbos, hints to the idea that learning Yerushalmi has to do with the Geula. And in Birchas Peretz, the Stipler quotes Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld with a fascinating gematria. The pasuk Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, Tzion will be redeemed with justice, is gematria Talmud Yerushalmi, and the continuation of the pasuk v'shaveh b'tzedakah is gematria Talmud Bavli. And this alludes to the same thing, that learning Yerushalmi is something that brings the Geula closer. Now, the Brisker Rav is quoted to have said that this gematria is ruach hakodesh, and the Shmua is that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said that this Geula factor of learning Yerushalmi is when it's done by Rabbim in a more public forum, not just by Yechidim, by individuals. So what a schus it is that we have to begin learning Talmud Yerushalmi together by Rabbim. And I'd like to take a moment to pay tribute to Maris Miriam Sarah Basar Yaakov Moshe, in whose honor all the Shiram on Talmud Yerushalmi have been sponsored. And the great Hashgacha is that today is her yard site, and that coincides with the very first daf of Yerushalmi. We discussed that Talmud Yerushalmi is Nehirin, it's light, it's lichtig, and Maris Miriam Sarah was exactly that, an exemplary wife and mother. Her joy for life, enthusiasm for Yiddishkeit, and all-around cheer spread happiness and light to the people around her. Her house was open to all, and anyone that entered knew she would serve them a delicious meal and offer them her listening ear. Music and singing accompanied her throughout the day, a true expression of her special neshama. Also, as we mentioned previously, Talmud Yerushalmi was written by the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael amidst hardship and suffering, but they constantly persevered through it all, and Maris Miriam Sarah as well. No matter the challenge or struggle, always had Eina Mavadeh on her lips, imparting this message for all to hear. She's left a legacy to be proud of, children following in her footsteps, connected to Kutcha Brichu, his Torah and mitzvahs, leading lives full of excitement for Yiddishkeit and helping others. And b'schus all the Torah being learned in her honor, her neshama should have a tremendous aliyah, and we should all be zeichet of Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mher v'yameinu. Now, practically speaking over here, there's a couple of points to bear in mind before we begin. Number one, as opposed to Bavli, which has a universally accepted Suras Hadaf, Yerushalmi doesn't necessarily have one, and therefore the pagination and Suras Hadaf differs depending on the printer. Now, already for quite some time, the Vilnit Suras Hadaf has been the most common one used. However, we're going to be using the most recent one, which has been published by Eis V'Hadar, as well as Art Scroll, who once again did a most magnificent job. They fixed up many discrepancies in Girsa, enlarged some key mefarshim, and added other extremely helpful mefarshim to the page, such as Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Pirush. Now, it is important to note that although the Eis V'Hadar and Art Scroll versions are almost identical in regards to pagination, Suras Hadaf, and choice of Girsa, which is the area that they stand out above and beyond other prints available, there are a few differences between them. For example, sometimes a new sugya is going to start four words into the line in one print and two words into the line in the other print. Sometimes a slightly different Girsa is going to be used, but again, the discrepancies are very minor. It's just important to bear this in mind. And number two, because of the various Girsais and different understandings of many Gemaras, it's important to stick to one Pirush in order to maintain consistency throughout the sugyas and to prevent as much confusion as possible. Now, in order to do our best to remain true to that, for Maseches Brachas, for the most part, we're going to be using the Pirush of the Charedim. However, there are a number of times where we're going to use a different Pirush in order to maintain ease of flow of the Gemara. And lastly, just like we are starting the first Masechta of Yerushalmi together, Maseches Brachas, we should be zecher to finish this Masechta together, and of course, all of Yerushalmi together. So without further ado, we begin Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Brachas, Daf Aleph, with the first Mishnah, and this Mishnah is no different than the first Mishnah Maseches Brachas in any Mishnayos that you have, or in your Gemara Brachas and Bavli that you have at home. The Mishnah says, Me'emas Aikarin is Shema Ba'arvin, from when does a person start saying Shema in the evening? Now we know there's a chiv to say Kriya Shema twice a day, at night and in the morning. This is based off the Pasuk, B'shach B'chov Kumecha, when you lie down and when you get up. Namely, Shema is meant to be said at the time when people lie down in the evening and get up in the morning. So from when can a person begin saying Shema in the evening? So the Mishnah tells us, Misha Shakayan Mechnasin Lecha B'Trumasan, from when the Kayhanim enter their homes to begin eating their truma. This is referring to a Kayan who became Tameh, so he can't eat truma. He went to the mikvah. After he came out of the mikvah, he's Tahar to some extent. However, he's not allowed to eat truma yet. He has to wait for Harav Shemesh. He has to wait for evening time. So he's going to go into his house to begin eating truma at Harav Shemesh, and that's when a person can begin saying Kriya Shema in the evening. Now, up until when is a person allowed to say Shema at night? Ad Saif HaShmayos HaRishayna, up until the end of the first HaShmayros, the night is divided into three watches, or HaShmayros, so he's allowed to say Kriya Shema up until the end of the first HaShmayros. Devar Rabbi Eliezer, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Vacham, Maimrim, the Chamim say, Ad Chatzos, a person's allowed to say the nighttime Shema up until Chatzos, up until halfway through the night. Now, Rabbi Gamaliel says, Ad Sheyal Amud HaShachar, until Amud HaShachar, and in the Gemara, we're going to be discussing when exactly Amud HaShachar is. The Mishnah continues, Maisa, there was a story, Ubo Banu Mi Beis HaMishta, and his sons came from a Beis HaMishta, which is a Chasana. Whose sons? Rabbi Gamaliel's sons. Now, Amrulai, they told their father, Rabbi Gamaliel, Loi Karinu Es Shema, we didn't say Shema yet. Now, it was after Chatzos, but before Amud HaShachar, and they want to know, are they allowed to say Shema? So Armulhan, he told him, Imloi Ola Amud HaShachar, if it's not Amud HaShachar yet, Chayavanatim Likrois, you're chayav to say Kriya Shema. And Vloi Zubavad Amru, it's not only that which they said that you're allowed to do up until Amud HaShachar, Ela Kol Shamru Chachamim Ad Chatzos, anytime the Chachamim said that you're allowed to do this following thing only up until Chatzos, Mitzvah Son Ad Sheyal Amud HaShachar, the mitzvah is to do it up until Amud HaShachar. For example, Hekter Chalavim Vevarim, the burning of all the sacrificial fats and limbs of Karbanis, which weren't able to be burned during the day in the Beis HaMikdash, and they have to be burned at night. Alafam Beis on the top, Mitzvason Ajel Amud HaShachar, the mitzvah is really to burn them all the way up until Amud HaShachar. Another example, Kalan Echalim Liyam Echad, any carbon which is only allowed to be eaten for one day. We know some carbonus are allowed to be eaten for 2 days, some for one day. So a carbon which is allowed to be eaten for one day, mitzvah san achi la amura shachar, the mitzvah is to eat it all the way until amura shachar. Not only is the person allowed to eat it the day that he brought the carbon, but he's also allowed to eat it that whole night up until amura shachar. And it's only once it hits amura shachar does the leftover meat become nicer. So Rabban Gamaliel just clarifies, imkain, if that's really so, which means if a person is allowed to do all these things up until amura shachar, lama amur chacham achatzois, why El Chamim say that you're only allowed to do it until Chatzos? And the answer is, Kedei Laharchikas Adam in Avera, in order to distance a person from doing an Avera. If a person tells himself that he's allowed to eat this carbon all the way until Amud HaShachar, he might accidentally eat it afterwards, and then he's going to be over the Isra of eating Nisar. If a person says, oh, I have all the way until Amud HaShachar to say Kriya Shema, he might end up delaying, and then he's going to miss saying Kriya Shema. However, Me'ikra Din, a person is allowed to do these things all the way up until Amud HaShachar, Therefore, you, my sons, says Rabban Gamliel, should say Kriyat Shema if it's not a Mora Shachar yet. Now we begin the Gemara. It quotes the Mishnah, Me'emes Aikar Neshma Ba'arvin, Anan Taninon. We learned in our Mishnah, Mishash HaKohanim Nechnasan Lecha B'Trumasan, that a person starts saying Kriyat Shema in the evening from when the Kohanim enter their homes to begin eating Truma. Now Tani Reb Chiya taught in the Braisa that when is it that a person can begin saying Kriyat Shema in the evening? Mishash HaDerech B'nei Adam Nechnasan Lechol Piton B'Leile Shabbos, from when it's common for people to go into their homes and eat their bread on Friday night, which means from when people begin eating their sudas Friday night, that's the time that a person can begin saying Kriya Shema in the evening. And Matani Allah, Baraisa, was taught on that, Krevim Divrei and Liyas Shavin, that their words are very similar to each other, meaning this time that Reb Chiya mentioned and the time taught in our Mishnah are not exactly the same, but they're very similar to each other. Now the Gemara Beis Amud Aleph on top tells us, Esa Chamei, which means come and see, now we're going to have an issue. Mishash HaKohanim Nechnasim Lecho B'Trumasan, this time that our Mishnah mentioned, that from when the Kohanim go into their homes to begin eating their truma, Yamama Huva Im Kaichvayahu. That's the daytime just about when the stars come out, which means that's just in the beginning of the night. However, Mishash HaDerech B'nei Adam Nechnasim Lecho Pitan B'Leile Shabbos, this time the Reb Chiya had mentioned that we can begin saying Kriya Shema from when people begin eating their sudas on Friday night, Shav V'Tarti Lailahu, that's an hour or 2 hours into the night. Va'at Omar Krevim Dvarim Liyas Shavin, and you said that their words are very similar to each other, meaning these two times are very similar? They're not. There's a very significant gap in between these two times. So Rabbi Yasi answers, Tipater, we can provide a solution, or we can interpret this as talking about the following, Be'ilein Kufrnaya Dikikaya, with these people from small villages, that they leave already while it's still daytime, and then they go back home early, which means they leave their work and they congregate in shul while it's still day. And after they finish davening, this is obviously Shabbos davening, they go back home and they're getting home before it's dark outside. And why is it that they do that? So as not to be ambushed or trapped by animals. These people that live in the small villages in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of the open areas, they have to be careful not to be on the roads at nighttime because animals aren't afraid of them. Therefore, they leave work early on Friday, they go to shul early, they accept Shabbos early, and they're back home early. So they start their sudas Friday night fairly early, and that's the time Reb Chiya was talking about, and that time is very similar to the time mentioned in our Mishnah, Mishash HaKohanim Nechnasim Lecho B'Trumasan. We're going to stop here for the day, pick up tomorrow talking about whether or not a person's Yotzei Kriya Shema, if he said it earlier than this time period. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.